Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester. And we are ready to rock and roll here into hour number two as we are reacting to things that we saw this weekend. A lot of football talk, obviously, on a Monday. We've talked just a little bit about the Chiefs, and that's where we'll start this hour. Got into K-State's win, a little bit into KU's win. It's all available for you and open for conversation on the IHOP hotline, which you can celebrate the weekdays now with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. So we'll go back to the Chiefs here, Tommy, because the Patrick Mahomes runs were just they were just ridiculous. I believe Jad has some audio here on the runs, and then the one big one, the touchdown run, his comments after the game. So let's get those ready for you and play those out here. Here we go from Mitch Holthus on the Chiefs Radio Network.
14-17 to go in the game. Kansas City 14. San Francisco 12. Fourth down. Less than a yard for a touchdown. Mahomes takes the snap and wants to throw it. He'll step up into the pocket. Flag on the play. Mahomes is into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Second down. Kansas City, they say 7 at the 37. So a good spot for the Chiefs, leading by 2. A little over a minute left, third quarter. Out of the shotgun. Mahomes in the pocket. He's going to scramble to the left side and gets by him at the defender, 35-yard line. Mahomes, step and go run. Still on his feet, 15, 10, and inside the 5. The Tennessee Titans of 2019 are going, we've seen that before. He ain't going to go out of bounds. Mahomes runs for 33 yards, stopping and going, hip dropping.
I actually was not trying to, like, lower my shoulder. I was trying to, like, absorb the hit. I knew I was going to be right in the end, right there in the end zone. And that dad bod, man, just had enough weight on me where he went down. So it wasn't like I was necessarily trying to, like, seek out contact. I was trying to absorb it and get in the end zone, and just ended up looking good for me.
Mahomes does things physically that surprise us all the time. That surprised me. Because Mustafa was playing well, like he was all over the place, and he just bounced off of him. Looked like they were trying to tackle Derrick Henry in the end zone. And Mahomes, he went on to say later, like, he doesn't try to do that. The last time he remembers lowering his shoulder like that, he sprained his shoulder in college, and Iowa State beat him by 50 points. So it's not something he's trying to do, but it happened. But it happened. And I made this joke to friends, like, I haven't seen Mustafa get trampled like that, Tommy, since the water buffalo, since he was betrayed by Scar.
How long, like, you had that one holstered up and ready to go?
Well, so let me tell you a little story about that, because I did send that out. And then after I sent it to, like, people, like, by text, I was like, I should have put that one on social media. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm telling my wife that story later. I'm like, oh, man, I had this. And she was like, it's not Mustafa, it's Mufasa. And I'm like, all right, fine. Like, whatever, like, get out of here. Like, cause I was proud of that.
Yeah.
I was proud of that one, but it was just like, what the hell was that?
Yeah,
I thought that was more impressive than the sideline run. The sideline run, we've seen that before, right? We've seen the agility. We've seen the start stop. We've seen all that. We've never seen him truck anybody. I mean, he trucked him.
Yeah. Can we just, like, just again, salute just the overall greatness of Patrick Mahomes, because things like that, I think I've mentioned this before, things like that, they're great. Don't get me wrong. I don't go crazy for, because, like, I'm so accustomed to seeing him do things that we've never seen, where I'm just sort of like, yeah, like, that's Mahomes. That's what he does. Completely unexpected. Expect the unexpected. That's Patrick Mahomes. It was great. I mean, both of those plays were phenomenal, and especially in the context of the game when he wasn't having a ton of success throwing the ball, threw a couple of interceptions. That's become, you know, sort of a thing this year, him throwing picks. In the context of all of that, that's what makes those runs that much more impressive, is just the fact that the Chiefs really needed them. They absolutely needed them, because the passing game really wasn't working the way that Mahomes, you know, would have liked them to. So, but as far as just the overall, like, wow factor, like jaw-dropping impact, yeah, it's there. But I don't get like wild and crazy over him anymore because I'm just so accustomed to Mahomes doing wild and crazy things all the time that we never expect.
I got wild and crazy for that one. That one surprised me. By the way, another one of these, the Chiefs are 6-0, ridiculous, just crazy, just absurd numbers things. Patrick Mahomes leads the league in interceptions. His quarterback rating, I don't even know how far down the list it is of starting quarterbacks, but it is way down the list. Yeah. Like you got to scroll to the next page kind of bad in quarterback rating. And the Chiefs are 6-0. They don't have anybody on offense. He's not playing up to his. Now he's playing different is the reality for Mahomes. It's different. He's still playing very well because he's making plays like that. He's just playing different. But, I mean, he hasn't been great this year. He didn't have a great line yesterday. And all of these things, like we just sit here and they're 6-0 playing the schedule that they've played. It is remarkable to like, and that's what, so back to the last hour, I'm like, everything about this to me, like it's almost like last year when things were unraveling, I kept saying, hang tight. Like they got Mahomes, they got Kelce. This defense is great. They'll be fine. They're equipped to win in the postseason. And I think all of that stuff is still true. Defense is even better. I don't think Travis Kelce is the same factor he was a year ago. I do think that's different. I just keep going back to like, can they just continue to do this all year? And will there be enough reserves just coming through? Like I just, what I would hate and what like this, and I don't feel like it's going to happen, but I'm like, at what point does the wind come out of the sails and all the good fortune go the other way? And is probably sooner than later, honestly, probably not like something that's all of a sudden going to happen in the postseason, but it's been wild. And like in the pendulum swings and the, you know, the karma back to the middle of the NFL that exists, it's like, how much longer can 6-0 with Mahomes not putting up numbers at all and all these injuries? And I mean, you build it around the defense. I mean, that's the bottom line, but man, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's what the Chiefs have done and it's what they'll continue to do. And I think that I remember us having this conversation a few weeks ago about the Chiefs being comfortable playing this way. And it was kind of
that they are.
It was kind of a debate at the time between you and I. And I think that, you know, at the time, both of us were like, yeah, like they are comfortable playing this way. But at least my opinion was it's not the way that they want to play. It's not the way that in an ideal world they would like to play. Like you look at Patrick Mahomes and his stat lines game by game. That's not the way that Patrick Mahomes would like to play. Those are not the stat lines that he would like to have. You know, you would love to be able to see more production in the passing game. Of course, the injuries play a large role in that for sure, but they're comfortable leaning into that. They're comfortable leaning into the run game and Kareem Hunt really being kind of the bell cow running back, at least as of now. And then really, you know, guys like Noah Gray, who had his best game as a pro yesterday. Kelce is out there and I think provides, of course, a lot of attention just because of who he is. Even just his presence on the field is going to attract attention. You know, and Jody Fortson is out there too. And then it's kind of a hodgepodge of receivers. They're comfortable with that. They're comfortable with the way that the defense is playing. But I think all in together, this is not the ideal way for the Chiefs to play, but it's working. It's successful. And there is literally, in my mind, no reason moving forward to think that that will change. Like, there's nothing, at least in the way that they've played, that I look at and I say, oh, that can't continue, or they're gonna lose games. Like, there really isn't. Even with Mahomes throwing a couple of interceptions.
It's the turnovers.
But even then, they won by double digits yesterday, and it was never even really close. And they threw two. He had two interceptions.
Well, I think it was close until Purdy threw an interception in the end zone and
there you go. Like it honestly, it doesn't, I don't want to say it doesn't matter. It's less impactful if the Chiefs have turnovers when they win the turnover battle, when the defense is able to take the ball away from the opposition. And they did that yesterday. Spags is, you know, great at that sort of thing. So there's really nothing in my mind that says that even despite them not being able to play the kind of football or the brand of football that they would prefer to play, that anything will change and the wind will be taken out of their sails. I just don't see that.
I don't think anything's going to happen in the regular season. Their schedules, they've played the most difficult portion of their schedule. Now they're 6-0. Their schedule just isn't that bad the rest of the way. So, like, I don't think you're going to get into a situation perhaps where you've got some home field and some things you're concerned with, but by and large, they should have no issues until they get to the postseason. And now it was this way last year by this point, when for very different reasons, where it was like, everything will be fine. This is a really good, this is a team built to win in the postseason. And it still is, except the turnovers. The turnovers are something that cannot keep happening. That will bite you, at least in the history of the NFL. We know that. But the one thing that is sort of in that line, and I don't have the direct numbers in front of me, 6 weeks through the year, whatever, they are far less penalized than they have been in recent years. And I do think that's had a major, major impact on the margins at which they've been able to win by. Remember the Ravens game, the Bengals game. Like, there are a lot of different things where this could have gone the other direction. It has not, and they're 6-0, which means they're safe. But I do think, as they're, you know, sitting and having their Monday meetings, I think you have to start and say, guys, like, we can't turn the ball over 2 and 3 times a game. I know it's worked fine so far, but that can't happen in the postseason.
But to that point, you know who has the most interceptions since the start of last season? Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You know who's right behind him is Sam Howell.
Like, it goes Patrick Mahomes, and we know and then why Sam that Howell. Is.
And that goes all the way back to the start of last season. They won a Super Bowl. So, like, right. You know, that conversation of, guys, we can't have 2 or 3 turnovers in a game and expect to win, you know, get through the playoffs. And they have. They did a year ago. They did. And they won. And so, like, I'm sure, again, this is a conversation of, yeah, like, it would be a lot easier. It would be a lot more advantageous for us if we took care of the ball, if we didn't turn it over. That hasn't been the reality, even going all the way back to last season, and they still won a championship. So, again, like, I think it leans into, like, my whole opinion of, while that's not the brand of football that they would like to play, nobody wants to throw interceptions, nobody wants to turn the ball over, they're comfortable leaning into it because of what makes this team strong. And what makes this team strong is their resilience. What makes them strong is, even if the stat line for Mahomes is not ideal, he does things like those runs where he is able to keep you in the game and be able to find other ways to make it happen, which he did on 2 separate occasions yesterday against the Niners. And the defense is top level, and Steve Spagnuolo is the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. All of those things, they are absolutely comfortable playing within, even if that's not the way that they would choose to play.
Yeah, look, I thought you were going to kill me after it was either the Chargers or the Falcons game when I said, yeah, they're totally comfortable playing this way. I get that part of it. I think it's time to begin to wonder, can they do that all the way through? And yeah, I think they can. They can, right, but that doesn't mean that's what they want to do,
It's the same, like, difference between, can they and do they want to? They might not have a choice.
Yes. But that's where we think about, like, what ways can this team still get better? And I don't mean by a player acquisition. That's not what I'm saying, which is a way. That's one way of many they can. The problem for them is with the interceptions, and I think two of the biggest reasons that's happened over the last 2 years is, A, they've been deficient at wide receiver. I mean, period. They just have been for the last 2 years. And B, they have a defense that 15 knows who his defense is, right? Like, he knows what that defense is capable of. And he is altering, I think, and taking more risk because he knows he can be bailed out. And they just don't have the kind of firepower offensively they have. Okay, it's the reality of it. I've told you a bunch of times, and it just more and more each week. This team right now and Mahomes reminds me of the early Brady years, that first sort of part of the Patriots dynasty, right? When you could just look back at those teams, and now, of course, we didn't know Brady at the time was going to be the GOAT like we know about Mahomes now. But if you just took that away and looked at sort of the numbers and things, Like, that's what it reminds me of. It was hard to define what made those teams really good. They were always good on defense, right? And they always kind of felt like they were in control of the pace and the clock and all of those things. That's the way this Chiefs team feels to me. Every team that plays them like comes into the game feeling desperate, right? How are we going to beat them? And I would guess that there will be a couple of times in the regular season where the Chiefs get smacked a little bit. The remaining schedule, I don't know who that's going to be, but I think it's probably going to happen. But it's been so wild. Like last year when they were struggling at this point, I don't think it was all that surprising. They didn't have anybody at wide receiver. They were trying to find themselves. They were trying to find their identity. Now they know their identity, but the deck that has been stacked against them this year is daunting. And that's what makes it so remarkable what they've done and why it's so impressive. These coaches and these players and how they're all bought into this thing. And it just reminds me of the early year Patriots where it just doesn't matter. Like they're just going to beat you.
Yeah. I don't think that it's daunting at all. I think that it's unfortunate. And I think that it's, you know, sure, they would absolutely love to have their top guys not be injured and the different weapons offensively not be injured. And we heard today that Jalen Watson, who's had a breakout season so far, has a fractured ankle. And depending on the severity of it, he could be out for the year. Like those things are definitely less than ideal for Kansas City, but I don't think it's daunting at all. And I'll tell you why. You go back to last season and you referenced when they were struggling. This is a Kansas City team that is battle tested. They've got the calluses to prove it. They know what it was like when they had the deficiencies. And in some cases, those deficiencies have sort of repeated themselves this season. I think that the wide receiver shortage last year was a little bit self-inflicted. Like they didn't have the depth chart that they wanted. This year, it's because of injuries. But still, the end result is basically the same, where you don't really have much depth and honestly a lot of trust in your overall receiving core overall, and they have to play a different style of football. But they're battle tested and they're calloused. They're resilient. They know that, you know, a year ago when they were losing these games and that it made the path to a Super Bowl that much more difficult, that they weren't going to go through that again this season. It doesn't matter what it took. It didn't matter what hand they were dealt, what injuries they had, any of that. Mahomes playing great, Mahomes playing poorly, didn't matter. They did not want to put themselves in the same kind of predicament that they were in a year ago, where at one point they were battling to even make the playoffs, right? And then ultimately had to go on the road and go through that, you know, that challenge, that gauntlet to get all the way to a second straight Super Bowl. They didn't want to do that. And we heard Mahomes talk about that a lot during the offseason, about how like that the season ago, they grew a lot. It showed them a lot. And so I think because of that, that resilience has carried over into this season, where I think that even despite these things that have happened to them, the injuries and all of that, I don't think it's fazed them one bit. I think it's literally like, all right, we got to just figure it out. We're not going to get into our heads. We're not going to let it affect us. We're not going to let us get into a situation where we start losing games that we should be winning. They're just going to go out and they're going to find other ways to get it done. And they've done a masterful job at that through six games.
Well, let's remember this, because remember last year they were 6-1 to start the year. They were 6-1 going into, they hadn't had their bye yet. So going into this week of the season, they were 6-1. Then they had their dud against the Broncos. And then when they came out of their bye and they lost, they lost 4 out of 6 games.
Yeah.
I would guess that if we went through and looked at everything, it would probably be, there'd be a lot of similarities in the 6-0 start and the 6-1 start last year. And then it did start to bite them in the butt. Now, I would tell you that identity wise, yes. As long as the defense plays this way, you love the Chiefs' chances in the postseason to go to another Super Bowl, because it translates to cold weather, right? Same thing as last year. If Mahomes is healthy, if the defense is playing this way, if Kelsey's there in the put, like, you love their chances. But we'll see if they're able to maintain it now, because at any point, I feel like at any point, the margins have been pretty thin and that can go the other way. But again, like, let's remember that when if they lose two or three games and you're like, oh God, is that enough? We're just like, hang on.
But what indicators do you have or have you seen through six games?
Well, that tell only you that, that only what that they done, very easily that they can't only do. That they very easily could have lost three of the games.
But they
that
didn't.
It, that so I, no, like, I know. What, I get
what
it.
Are what are the when you watch this team play? I mean, because there's got to be something. There's got to be something
they're
doing.
They're turning the ball. They're turning the ball over too much. And listen, I'm not by any means saying that I'm worried about. I wasn't worried about the Chiefs when they lost four out of six last year. But what I'm saying is they were almost. And I know they lost a game. They lost that opener to the Lions. But they were a more dominant team through the first 7 weeks of an NFL season last year than they were this year. And then they lost a bunch of games and everybody what I'm saying is, like, even if they were 3-3 right now, which the Falcons, the Bengals, the Ravens, all three, I guarantee you those teams feel like they should have beat them. They didn't. They should have. They think that. And so as we get to this point, if it ever starts to in a game, up, oh, turn the ball over too much. Up, oh, don't have like remember that their defense is right now awesome. That Watson losses, I didn't see that. That sucks. That's a big loss. And they still have Mahomes, even when he's playing this way. And you think Kelce in the postseason will be able to ramp it up. So just what I'm saying is nobody panic.
Yeah, I don't think anybody at 6-0 is going to panic today. Like,
no, you're
that's
not. But nobody at 6-1 was panicking last year either. Yeah, and then everybody by Christmas was panicking.
Yeah, but there were. I think it's different. And for me, it's yeah, they lost a bunch of games last season that caused a significant amount of panic. But I think even if they do drop a couple of games here and there, and I don't think they will because of their schedule. But even if they do, at least my panic is not going to be anywhere close to what it was a year ago because we're used to it. Like, this is a team that can play ugly and win ugly, right? And that was uncommon a year ago. That was not something that we were used to seeing from Kansas City. We were used to seeing Superman out there, and he had like runs yesterday that were great, right? But we were used to seeing like the identity of this team just being jaw-dropping all the time and everything that they could execute. And it just was like they were the cream of the crop. And it was different a year ago because it was kind of like a punch in the gut, like, okay, this is not that same team. This is different. It was something that the fan base was completely not used to whatsoever. And this year they are. And I'm definitely more comfortable with watching this team play and win games ugly and lean on their defense and lean with the running game and, you know, do all of the things that they did a year ago where maybe some of those games didn't end up their way, and they certainly didn't. They are so far this year, but even if they don't, they're battle-tested. And I think that the fan base is battle-tested now, too. And you know that you can still win a Super Bowl in playing less than your best football. Like, that's just the way that it is. You can still get there and make that run into the postseason, even when things are not ideal for you. And so there's a level of comfort there that I have throughout the course of this season that I didn't have a season ago, even if they do drop some games. You mentioned the turnovers. That's true. It's true, but they also won the turnover battle yesterday. So there's nothing to me that indicates that anything, even if some things and facets of the game are less than ideal, there's nothing right now that tells me that they're just going to go on this massive slide.
I don't think they're going on a massive slide. I only have these conversations to think, should they do something to get better? That's the only reason I'm thinking about this stuff right now. If they don't, of course, they're going to be in a good position either way. My thought has always been this year, no matter what, all I'm thinking about is a third Super Bowl. And I'm trying to watch the teams around the Chiefs. And last night, that was a big reason I wanted to watch that Steelers-Jets game, because you had two potentially significant factors in the game. Russell Wilson getting his first start with Pittsburgh and Devontae Adams now as the Jets make that trade. We'll talk about that game here in this hour. But those are the things that I want to know. Like, has anything changed around them, and what's out there? Can they do anything to get just a little bit better? Just a little bit better to just do these, because they get the luxury now at 6-0 of doing that. I still think, too, one of the biggest reasons this team, as it's the penalties, man. They just are not The turnovers have been bad, but they're not having those drive-ending penalties. Like, you remember some of the like penalty conversations with Jawan Taylor lining up offside? Like, all it's like, my God, like, what is happening? They're just not doing any of that this year, which has been one of the great things I think about this team.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much difference between a season ago and this year, even though it hasn't been ideal for Kansas City in a lot of different facets. I've just got like this calm. I mean, even when like, you know, Nick Bosa is getting, you know, doing whatever he wants to Wanya Morris, or the Niners defense is picking off Mahomes or whatever it is. I don't know. I sat there with a level of calm that I haven't had before with the Chiefs, because it's like, you know what? They're undefeated. They're going to play ugly. They're going to muddy the game up. They're going to muck it up, and they're going to win. And that's what they did, and that's what they do, and I think that's what they'll continue to do.
Yeah, and it was yesterday through a couple of really big plays with Mahomes on the ground with his legs. And that they'll just keep finding ways in a season that, man, has been wild with injury, not just for them, for everybody. Let's talk about that Sunday night game. Either of those teams do anything, because they both made pretty significant changes to make themselves AFC contenders, as we wonder about a Chiefs Super Bowl. We'll talk about that. Any of the other things to look for in the NFL from the weekend, that's next. Sports Daily, all Brockton Caster. On the way out, let's give away some HTO. You can win by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea, a free rain coffee, iced or hot. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, T to the short code 20357. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily right after this.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
We're talking about Pep and Suter Remodeling. Four generations of contractor influence. The Pep and Suter team does fantastic work. You can go check out some of the work. Pep and Suter, PEPINSUTER.com. They did the work on our summer remodel. We had our kitchen remodeled, and Pepin came in, and his staff did an unbelievable job. They did exactly what we wanted them to do. I can't even tell you how wild some of it was. Not you know, moving, cutting out, and moving cabinets, and you know, doing all the crazy things that they did. They made it happen. They walked us through each step of the way, and they took great care of our family during it. That's the part that made me the most happy, is they gave us a functioning kitchen while they were remodeling our kitchen at the end of every day. They made sure we could use it. They cleaned up. Go to pepinsuter.com to check out their work, or give them a call, 316-573-6822. Again, that's 573-6822. If the quality of work matters, if the quality of the people and the way they take care of your family matters, give Pep and Suter a call for all your home remodeling needs. Welcome back into Sports Daily here, Tommy. We look around the NFL. I thought, this was a big week, and still is a big week, by the way, in the NFL, as we get some big games tonight that we'll look at some bets and stuff in our next segment. But as we look at the rest of the schedule yesterday, I thought one of the more interesting games as it pertains to the Chiefs was actually the Sunday night game. The Jets get in Devontae Adams, his first game back, kind of less than a week to prepare, all of those things. It's so wild to me that the Jets finally figure out a way to have a functioning offense, which gets much easier when you incorporate Breece Hall, quite frankly, by the way, everybody. Breece Hall's very good at football, and now their defense can't play football. The Steelers gained 409 yards of offense on that Jets defense for all those years that was so good. Now that the offense is functioning, their defense fails them, and I don't know what to take more out of it. The fact that Russell Wilson led Pittsburgh to 409 yards of offense and 37 points, right? Or that's just the Jets defense playing that badly. Either way, significant in the landscape of the AFC.
Well, I thought that Harris ran the ball really, really well for the Steelers. I mean, that certainly helps too when you've got an effective running game to, you know, get out there and set up Russell Wilson. I'll be the first to say that I was not a fan of Mike Tomlin making the change away from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson. I felt like Fields, they needed to continue to ride with him because he's their best bet long term. But man, Wilson played a really good game. I mean, he was pretty efficient. He threw the ball pretty well, didn't make a lot of mistakes. It was kind of, I hate to say it, vintage Russell Wilson to an extent. George Pickens, it certainly helps when you've got him too. And Pat Freiermuth, you know, is a good safety valve as well for the Steelers. But that was the most effective we've seen Pittsburgh be offensively basically all season. It had been really their success led by their defense and the offense doing just enough. And, you know, really the yards that the Steelers were able to get, I do think I'm going to tip my cap a little bit to Russell Wilson, that he came out there and he played really, really well. Now, again, the Jets defense was not good. That was not what we have become accustomed to with the Jets. But yeah, I mean, credit goes to Russell Wilson, Najee Harris, and, you know, the Steelers had a really, really solid game plan to put points on the board.
Harris got a lot of his yardage right there at the end, but they committed to it. And when you combine he and Warren, it was good enough. But I think if you're going to tell me that Russell Wilson will do two things, not turn the ball over and find a way to utilize George Pickens, which for George Pickens, who I agree with Chris Collinsworth, one of the better go-get-the-ball receivers in football, and Russell Wilson, who, say whatever you want, has always been one of the best deep ball throwers in this league. The Steelers are for real. I'm just going to tell you that right now. The Steelers are very for real. The way that they can play defense, the way that they can get after the quarterback. If Russell Wilson can replicate what he did last night, look out, because that's a team that I would absolutely put up there with Baltimore. I would put up there with, well, I mean, I think that's your main, and Houston, I guess, as main contenders in the AFC for the Chiefs. Elsewhere, you saw the Lions have the big comeback win. That was really good for them. I don't think that was it's funny that the Vikings lose that game coming off of a bye, but I don't think it was a total indictment on them. More about the Lions, but I think that was obviously the other really, really big one everyone was looking at. The Bills win again. All of a sudden, they're 5-2. But, you know, a good delivery so far with some games tonight, Tommy, that will tell us a lot about the Ravens, the Bucks, and potentially the Chargers.
The early window was a lot of fun yesterday. You mentioned the Lions and the Vikings game. The Lions had a big lead. I mean, they had a great second quarter, and then here come the Vikings led by Sam Darnold. And, you know, of course, he's got those weapons that, you know, they were able to get it done and you know, ultimately get back into the game. And it took the Lions at the very end, you know, to squeak by when I'm sure that they probably thought midway through the game that it was going to be, you know, a cakewalk, I guess, you know, to an extent. But it wasn't. That was a great divisional matchup. Then the other game that you didn't mention that I think was huge was the Packers and the Texans. The Packers able to beat Houston. They did a phenomenal job defensively on C.J. Stroud. A phenomenal job. That game went down to the wire also. And Houston just about pulled out the victory. But man, give credit to Green Bay's defense, which is really stout. And, you know, I think that for me, while offensively Green Bay didn't have their best day, with what we saw from the Packers, that solidifies them, I think, right alongside both the Lions and the Vikings as, you know, the NFC North being the best division in the NFL. That's going to be just wild down the stretch, which team, and the Bears are there too. They're probably a step behind, but that entire division is loaded. And so the fact that the Lions were able to hand the Vikings their first loss of the season and the Packers beat the Texans, man, this division is totally up for grabs.
I would say this. Do the Texans or the Vikings losing in those two headline games make you think of the Texans or the Vikings as any less of? They both lost on game-winning field goals.
Nope.
Me neither.
Not at all.
Which just means we got great football, right? And if they played again tomorrow, who knows what would happen? I agree. I think those are absolute. All four of those teams are Super Bowl contenders.
Now, I will say with the Texans, though, there is a caveat to that. They really miss Nico Collins.
They had to lean back, right?
Well, he's on IR, so he's got to miss a handful of games. But of course, you know, C.J. Stroud had to really, really lean on Steph Diggs, which for good reason, right? But he had a hard time because he didn't have that other weapon. He, you know, tried to feed it to Tank Dell some, and Dell didn't have a catch, didn't log a single catch in the game. And a lot of that is credit to the Green Bay defense. They knew that, of course, Houston was down Nico Collins and who the other guys were that they were going to have to focus on. So, but it doesn't really change things for me long term, but you could definitely tell Houston was missing Collins.
For sure. And everybody's missing players right now. That's the other thing, too, that this is all hard to, like, it's a season within a season within a season. We just finished the first third. Everybody's banged up. What does the final third look like? Who knows? Probably very different than it looks right now, because we don't know. Availability is one of the big concerns of the NFL. And that leads us to tonight. So we get Ravens and Bucks, Chargers and Cardinals. Ravens and Bucks, a total of 50. The Buccaneers are 3.5-point dogs at home. The Chargers are 1-point favorites on the road. These are two interesting games. I don't have a great bet for anybody right off the top here, because I think these are all I would probably lean Ravens, even though it's got the hook there, the road hook, which is always dreadful. But of all of these things, that's probably the one I'm looking at right now. But I really got to dig in, because I think these are going to be two awesome football games tonight.
I think they're going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really looking forward to both of them. And the fact that the Ravens, you know, have this opportunity again. I think that because the Ravens are so high profile and they have been for so long, that it's just going to be a preconceived, you know, notion that they're going to win this game and they're going to win it big. But don't sleep on the Buccaneers. And I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying in general, like, don't sleep on the Bucs.
Oh, I like the Bucs.
Because they have been sort of under the radar for a while now. I like, at home, the Bucs getting points. I think it might come down to, you know, the very last couple minutes of this game. It wouldn't shock me at all if the Ravens win, but the Bucs cover. As of now, what I'm looking at is that, you know, they've got the Bucs are getting 3.5 at home. I kind of like taking the points in this particular game. The other one, the Chargers are getting a point on the road. I think the Chargers can win by double digits. I think some of it's going to come down to the way that, Justin Herbert is able to, you know, get the ball out and how effective he'll be. Because, you know, the conversation, and not to bring up something totally different, but the conversation, and rightfully so, has been that Patrick Mahomes hasn't played up to his, best level. Justin Herbert really hasn't either this season. He's been very average. He's been very, very average this year.
Yeah. That don't have their weapons. Right. We'll just put it that way. Yeah.
If Herbert can, you know, find a way, and there's a long list of wide receivers that are questionable tonight for the Chargers, even if just a couple of them are able to go, I think that the Chargers can win by a touchdown or more.
The Chargers play defense and run the ball. And they have a playmaking quarterback. I mean, their formula is not that different from the Chiefs.
Yep.
I don't think their defense is as good, but their formula is not that different. And I would say this about the Bucs, and I probably won't touch that line. I'm just trying to look for. I'll do a bunch of like the same game parlay type things with player props. Bucs have got to stop Derrick Henry. If the Bucs can stop Derrick Henry, I love the Buccaneers. I love the Baker Mayfield story. I love a lot of what they can do. If they can stop Derrick Henry, I'll be willing to call him a Super Bowl contender. I'll be willing to at that point. So that's kind of where I'm looking tonight. And we'll see. Yeah, that goes for everybody, by the way. Got to be able to stop Derrick Henry in the postseason, I think, with the Ravens. That's where it'll come
down.
Like
the Chiefs did, let's, by the way.
Like the Chiefs, 100% like the Chiefs did. Absolutely. Let's talk baseball. I know Ken wants us to, and others. World Series is set. The dream for Major League Baseball. Dodgers, Yankees. Hard not to be a little excited about it, even if you hate both teams. We'll come back. We'll talk about it on Sports Day.
.975 and 1240 KFH on the KFH.
But ratings honks are going to love this one, right? Like all the people that can't talk about baseball without talking about ratings and how many people are watching XYZ, which is always so ridiculous to me, because baseball is very much a regionalized sport where you kind of root and follow your favorite team, and then maybe you'll tune into the World Series. Just reality. Some people love to point it out that it's not the NFL. And guess what? It's not the NFL, and they're still making money hand over fist, and their athletes are paid higher than any other sport. So, with all that being said, the rating honks are going to love this one. Yankees, Dodgers, not only is it the big payrolls and the big markets and literally the perfect matchup when it comes to that stuff, what I like about it and what will bring me to the table on this is that you have really, well, you have the two best players of a generation, like of the post-Trout generation. It's Judge and Ohtani. And for Ohtani, it's like maybe best ever. You get those guys front and center. That's what makes this special as much as anything else for baseball to me.
It's going to be more of a spectacle than typically it is. And that's not a knock on the World Series. I love watching the World Series. But, you know, when you've got teams that are not overall national darlings, it will be that much more of an overall spectacle and an event and all of that. This is what Major League Baseball has been dying for, a World Series between, you know, these two teams. And honestly, regardless of the outcome of the NLCS, had it been the Yankees-Mets Subway Series, that would have been, you know, a good consolation prize for Major League Baseball. They would have been, now they would have been fun with, I mean, they would have been good with that too. Not as much as Yankees-Dodgers, obviously, for obvious reasons, in the two largest media markets in the country. But, you know, the Subway Series, I think, you know, definitely would be a good consolation for them. But at the end of the day, this has the star power. It's got the large markets. It's got the payroll. It's got everything that you need to build in to make it must-see TV. The way that I probably, and the way I typically approach the World Series, if my, one of my teams is not in it, is I'll watch when there isn't a competing primetime football game. Maybe not Thursday Night Football, but the other ones. But with the Yankees and Dodgers, that probably goes above whatever primetime NFL game is on. It really honestly does.
If I'm being honest, they'll probably both, they'd be on par. I would have loved to see the Guardians win it. That's who I was rooting for more than anybody. And like, honestly, it would have been like Guardians, Mets, probably Dodgers, Yankees. But the reality is I'm more likely to watch this one because of Ohtani, and it's not just Ohtani and Judge. You maybe have two of the other top five players in baseball and Mookie Betts and Juan Soto, right? Yeah. Like it's not just those two guys, but yes, it is. It will become much more of a like cultural event.
Yeah. And then you go even further down and you've got Giancarlo Stanton, who has had a torrid run in the postseason. You've got Freddie Freeman. I know that he's battling, you know, some health issues, but you've got Freddie, like the star power from top to bottom. We haven't even gotten to the pitching staffs yet. Like it's there for both teams.
Giancarlo Stanton is one of the great postseason hitters of all time. And as he comes out of a series where he won the MVP and Ken says he deserved it even with his .222 average. Of course he did. Every clutch hit when you look up for the Yankees is Giancarlo Stanton. Royals know that all too well. He cost them a series in a lot of ways. So, you know, it is interesting. It's been a long time. They've met a lot in the World Series, but not in either one of our lifetimes. You know, like, so yeah. You've had an entire generation of baseball fans, really probably about three generations of baseball fans that have never seen this World Series matchup, which is pretty crazy. But here it is. And it starts Friday. I wish it started sooner. I get it, but I kind of wish they'd just start it right away. That's a long time to wait. But, you know, it'll be here before we know it. All right. We'll come back. We'll tell you about the programming tonight, which game you're going to hear with us. It's all coming as we wrap up Sports Day.